what do you prefer? Do you prefer being on stage or be behind the chair? Yeah. Got to tell you, being behind the chair for me is still a great thing to do. Yeah. And it's something that I'd never stop doing. You know, digging deep and giving it your best shot with every single person that comes in the shop is really what it's all about. And, you know, we are barbers and we can make a difference to some people who sit in the chair, whether they're depressed, whether they're, you know, in a bad way. I mean, we've got a wide range of people that come in, and I think that's really important to remember who we are.
The more and more barbers I meet, the strength of everyone's empathy is quite amazing, and how that's spread out. And, you know, obviously from social media, the kind of lessons that are being given out, that if you are finding these things that you're struggling with, that there is some sort of resource out there to approach it, everything in a different way.
Because there's some people who go on the fast track courses and they give up barbering after 6 months because they don't enjoy it. And one of the reasons they don't enjoy it is because they're not very good at it. Mm. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's just that they haven't been taught the simple way to do it. For instance, skin fades. My goodness, skin fades are really a short back in size, but some people are taking 45 minutes to an hour to do a skin fade, rubbing a hot clipper up the side of someone's head. That client retention? Don't think so.
Welcome to The Noble Barber. This is a podcast for barbers by barbers, cutting through the crap of the industry. We all want to know how our businesses can run better. I want to talk to people who've done it, messed it up and got it right second time round, and can tell us the way that you and I can make our businesses better. Hi there, welcome to another episode of The Noble Barber. I'm here with Phil Jarman. Hi Phil. Back for a second visit. Thank you very much. And the reason I kind of wanted us to do another one really was, certainly in the last, well, I suppose the beginning of this year, I've spoken to so many barbers that have either shut down or are shutting down for a variety of reasons. And an awful lot across the press of barbers who are struggling, and the industry being predicted to have an awful lot more closures, and, you know, people who've been, you know, 10, 15, 20 odd years in the industry shutting up shop. And obviously, you know, I had my business for 20 years, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I shut it down. And I know you had a change of approach. You know, you had your business and changed, as you said in our last chat, that, you know, health issues made you take a change of direction. And I just thought it'd be really good for us to start a chat about kind of life after and how you found it. You know, you're kind of, you know, it's happening. And there's a huge fear. It feels like, for me, it felt like this absolute terrifying unknown. I'd always had my business. That was how I made my living. And the thought of the other side felt like failure, and, oh, it was just horrendous. But on the other side of it, I very quickly, as soon as it was gone, I realised actually it was just one aspect of my life. And now 10 years on, we're doing very different things and I love it.
Mm.
So weirdly, a good change.
Yeah.
Yours was the same. So out of everyone, I thought this would be really good to hear how you went. Yours was kind of forced on you, but in a different way, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, thanks very much for having me back. It must have been okay the first time to get another second shot at it, but no, I really appreciate it. I think you guys are smashing it. I tell you, you're really doing great.
So,
thank you. Yeah. So to answer the question, obviously I think life is what you make it to a certain extent. Obviously over my 37 years of chopping away behind the chair, health reasons really forced me to make that change. And I think if I didn't have the bleed on the brain that really stopped me in my tracks, I think there wouldn't have been that much more I could have done. You know, I've probably done over 250,000 haircuts in my career. So yeah, I think there's only so much you can do, but change scares a lot of people, as you mentioned, and it really does. But I think I've kind of evolved into doing what I'm doing now, and it is actually going really, really well.
I mean, what was your business prior to that?
So I was running barbershops in Hertfordshire. I closed my barbershops down in Sussex, relocated up to Hertfordshire, Cambridgeshire. And I think 90% of the people that actually worked for us, I actually taught myself. So education is a big part of what I think is so important in barbering, you know. I think with skill sets, you know, anyone that used to come for that interview, I used to think, well, you can always upskill the skill sets if they've got a great personality, and you can just turn them into that gem of a barber that they could be. So yeah, the education side really
And that's definitely where you've thrown yourself. And prior to this, I'm just wanting to really kind of investigate that kind of bridge in between. Whereas previously, you know, I guess it was a more traditional kind of career where you had your stores, you were running the stores, people in, busy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And presumably, apart from training your staff, you hadn't looked externally at training, or was that always something that had floated around your career?
Yeah, so to be honest, the Phil Jarman Academy is set in stone now, but, you know, I've kind of been doing that anyway for way over 20, 25 years, you know, from starting stuff on stage. Remember Capital Hair and Beauty over 20 years ago, I was doing their barber courses. I was always getting people reaching out, asking if I'd come to their salon to work with their hairdressing salon or barbershop. Individuals have came to visit me. So I mentor quite a few people who have got successful barbershops, but they still come to me on a regular basis to just pick up some tips. So education, because I was so lucky to be taught by a legend, it's always been at the forefront of what I do, and passing that on to other people is probably one of the best gifts you can give someone.
Where did you originate from?
So Port Glasgow in Scotland. There's a guy called Derek McFadden, Dez. So he's out in Australia now, absolutely smashing it. He's got some great salons, but he's not a massive one for Instagram, but he's someone that I always refer back to. If I'm on stage anywhere in the world, or if I'm teaching a classroom, I always really make them know that I'm not any greater than them as a barber. I'm not any lesser than them. Might be a bit shorter. But you know what I'm actually doing? I'm passing on the skills that I have been taught and the skills that I've nurtured. So I say to people, you know, if you can take one thing away from you, from this seminar, from this education day, it's fantastic. If you can take two or three, it's even better. But sometimes at Salon International, you get people standing there with their arms folded thinking, who is this guy? Who is this guy? He looks, you know, I can do better than that. And I also say to them as well, if you've came here today and you think you should be on stage, it's a great thing as well, because you're going to go back to your salon with a lot more confidence than you had before you came here. But I always say something that's very important. Everyone can sing in a bath, but not everyone can sing on the stage.
Yeah.
So when you're actually teaching someone, teaching someone is a skill set that is completely different to being a good, solid barber behind the chair. So actually educating someone and inspiring them is definitely a different skill set that
And are you seeing that
I'm enjoying
now, obviously, with the academy, and obviously you've got other things that you're up to. Are you still behind the chair? Do you still have clients? Do you still keep a foot in?
I do 3 days a week behind the chair, which I absolutely love. I mean, to be honest, some people would say to me, what do you prefer? Do you prefer being on stage? I'm in Amsterdam in April doing Barber Society Live, which is one stage that I've always wanted to be on. And finally, I got the call up to be on the main stage this year. So I'm really looking forward to that. So even although that could be in some ways the pinnacle of your career, you know, being on that big stage, to be honest, it is a lot of ego, right? And it massages your ego. So you feel good to a certain extent. But I tell you now, you cannot beat the feeling of someone sitting in your chair and you giving them such a cool haircut and having a great chat with them. You can't beat that feeling of giving.
Yeah.
You know? So I would actually, if someone says, would you prefer? Do you prefer being on stage, or do you prefer being behind the chair? I think having someone, being a barber, someone in your chair,
I mean, when I was doing less and less behind the chair and more and more kind of running staff and dealing with managers and, you know, I had lots of managers in the previous company and, you know, it was all good. But the big change that I've made when having kind of set up a new thing on the other side of mine has been being behind the chair. I still, you know, it's definitely the primary. You know, we train, but we train our own staff. You know, we send our people out to people like yourselves. And this is my external. But I do think when it comes back to it, the one thing that we've all always got is you can still pick up a pair of scissors. You can still get behind the chair. And I think if you are facing that kind of shutdown of your business through whether it's your health, and certainly the end of my business didn't do my health any favours at all, or as I was, mine was the bank crash and the fun and games that the banks decided to have with us wee businessmen, or whatever the reasons that are going on, there is a definite new beginning for everybody, even though it may taste and feel horrendous and fearful and all that kind of stuff. I really love the company we've got now. Oh, yeah. I really love the people and what we're doing. And obviously, you know, your academy and more has been really fulfilling for you.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what I wanted to kind of just kind of nudge around, that there is a
life after.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Well, I just think you get really caught up in it.
Definitely.
You know, and when you're like yours under stress, mine was all pressure, you really can't see the other side. And I think we talk a lot about barbershops and barbers' mental health and helping people's mental health and men's. I mean, we talk about all this stuff, which is brilliant. You know, there's still barbershop owners and salon owners that feel really alone, really isolated. I know I really did, you know, and when I decided to start a new store, I've adamantly gone out and met as many other storekeepers as possible.
Good.
Because you need that network, you know, and I think it's really easy to get lost. So yes, there is another thing out there. And your other thing is training. Now, you've said to me many times how much you're obsessed, not obsessed with social media and online, and now your new book is back-to-back video, film. You know, you've suddenly gone from not wanting cutting edge to being quite cutting edge with your new stuff. So tell us about the book and the new way.
The new book is coming out in the next, hopefully, 6 or 7 weeks. It's a fantastic book. It's not just about education. It's a lot about mindset as well. I delve into a lot of things, from good habits and bad habits in barbering, the why of what we do. The why of what we do is quite interesting. There's a whole chapter, there's a big chunk of the book on the why of what we do. And the reason I say about the why, if you're teaching a child of infancy how to do things in life, you'd say, you know, stay away from that fire. And they go, why? And when you tell them, explain to them why to stay away from that fire, because you're going to get burned, they'll obviously, it'll sink in and it'll help them with their learning. And stay away from that broken glass, or stay away from that cliff. There's always a reason why. And in barbering, there's a reason why we do things, good habits and bad habits. Mm. And from apprentices over the years, I've came up with 110 whys of what we do. So for instance, one would be, why would you wet the hair before you razor cut it? Simple answer is, if you didn't wet the hair, you're going to yank the hair out. Or why would you make sure the hair is completely dry before you finish to perfect it? Because obviously if the hair's not dry, it can change shape and it's not the finished look before you perfect it. So there's so many whys, so many really, I mean, something as simple as, why would you make sure the gown is tucked out of the barber chair, not down the back of the chair? Because I see this so many times in academies and training schools and even barbershops and hairdressers, the gown's always tucked down the back of the chair. And such a simple thing that they're going to get hair all down the backside when they walk out. So there's so many whys of what we do. Also as well, there's a large chunk of the book that talks about how to turn customers into fans. And obviously we're football fans, we can relate to this. Fans are a lot more loyal than clients or customers. Yeah. Customers can go from one shop to another. And funny enough, last season, should I say, I was actually traveling on the train to do a seminar in Kensington in London with a whole load of hairdressers and barbers. And it was on the Monday morning, and the day before, Liverpool beat Manchester United 7-0. So I had a little light bulb moment on the train. I thought, you know, I'm going to change my whole introduction about, it's all about client retention and how to turn customers into fans. So I started the whole thing off by saying, have we got any football fans in here? And, you know, all the hands went up. And I said, have we got any Man United fans? And, you know, everyone started laughing, because obviously all of these guys knew the day before Man United lost to Liverpool. So this one brave fella put his hand up. And I said to him, I said, you know, this is not a dig. And I'm really, really keen to find out why. You're a massive Man United fan. You lost 7-0 yesterday to rivals. 7-0. It wasn't 1-0. It wasn't a 5-0 drubbing. It was 7-0. Will you support Liverpool from now on? And I can't actually repeat without swearing what he said back. So I said, okay, will you support Man City? They've got more money than you. And obviously he said a similar reply. I said, where do you live? He says, Islington. I said, right, Arsenal, top of the league at that time, will you support them? He said, no chance. I said, can you tell me why? He says, well, I'm a Man United fan. I said, okay, you're a fan of Man United. So, you know, fans have definitely got more loyalty, even if you're a barber or a hairdresser. Mm. And you move salons, you could move 10 miles down the road, they're still going to come to you. So it's all about turning clients into fans, and it actually explains how we can do this, you know. One important thing also, I think, is how you make someone feel. You know, when someone comes to you for the first time, if 6 months later or a year, they're your regular, they're your fan. If you were to ask them a couple of serious questions of, you know, when you went for your first haircut with Anthony or with Phil, can you remember what song was on Spotify? And they'd be like, no. Mm. Can you remember what day of the week it was? No. Can you remember if you had a tea or a coffee? Can't remember. But one thing they'll never forget, how you made them feel. So the book really covers a lot about a little bit deeper stuff, but also with techniques. I mean, it's so
important. I think for a lot of people, you know, a lot of it feels like we know that.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's lost, and that's exactly it. I think, you know, I've been speaking recently to a lot about people who are coming into the industry as a second or third career. Mm. And there's a definite change in that. And a lot of people who are doing the kind of, you know, beginner to barber 3 or 4 months. You know, I met Michael last month, and obviously I've spoken to other academies and Ed Hemmings about these training spaces. But these are the bits that can get missed, of actually making that client feel really special, feel part of what, you know, feel a part of your business rather than just feel like a customer.
Definitely.
Interesting. And so you're saying that you've done a lot, you're getting a lot done on film with this. Is this going to be an online book rather than a paper?
So it's going to be both. I'm very, very lucky it's going to be distributed. Got my wrong teeth in today. It's been put all over the world, should I say, in different languages as well. So we're going through all of that at the moment. I've been speaking with Amazon as well, and they're very keen to be involved in the production of it. But yeah, so a lot of the techniques, there's the four-stage method that I teach, basically a simple four-stage method. I think any more than four stages and I'll forget anyway. So four stages keeps it simple. What I'm trying to do is make barbering simple for hairdressers who want to be barbers, and barbers that have got a bit stale, and beginners as well. It's a book for everyone. But the great thing about this book, it's got a QR code on each page. So it talks about the four stages, it talks about certain techniques, and then you can scan the QR code with your device and actually watch a video, even in slow motion, of the technique. So it's a book that it's not just telling you what to do or showing you how, it's showing you how to do it as well, which really, really works well. And I've got an incredible videographer who's a client of mine who's helping me with this. So I am super excited to get this book not just published, but published in all different languages. Yeah. And for that book to literally go global as well. So super excited. And obviously with being the head of education for Gamma in the UK, I'm using their products as well. So they're very happy to help me get this book out.
So talk about that. How did you get on? How did that come about? Why Gamma, and where did that come from?
So, do you know, it's mad. Obviously,
Your title? Are you a kind of ambassador for Gamma?
The kind of head of education for Gamma in the UK. I work alongside other ambassadors. I'm an ambassador also as well. Cool. But
how did that come about? Where did that spring from?
Do you know, for many years, right, I have been a wild man. I've only used wild clippers. I've been so lucky that, you know, I've had loads of different brands, you know, Panasonic sent to me the whole range, and, you know, try these for free and just keep them and work with them and tell me what you think and can you get involved. And, you know, I've had, you name the clipper company, I've had them sent to me from one way or another, and nothing turned my head. Mm. Right? So Wild was my clipper. That's what I started off with. I thought, you know, great clippers. Until I was introduced to Gamma, and I think innovation-wise, I'm not just saying it because I am. I mean, I've done this by choice to be an ambassador for them. You know, I think to be an ambassador for a company, sometimes it's just great to jump on the back of it and sort of piggy ride your way to doing stuff. But it's a clipper company that I've actually been to the head office in Italy quite a few times in Brescia. They're amazing. The innovation, they're always looking for, you know, so for instance, a wild clipper, for instance, they've got an entry-level one with Gamma. They've got an intermediate one. They've got one that's a little bit more expensive. They've got all different shapes, different sizes, different covers. You can change the blades on them, you can change the actual body on them, you can change the lever. One of the things I love is the click lever. You know, the lever on the clipper sometimes is a freestyle one. And through time and sort of, how can I say it, sort of decay, that clipper can come so loose, that lever can come so loose. If you're doing a lot of tapering with a fast hand, you can have a nightmare. Mm. You know, if that lever pops up and your blade goes to the finer section, it can really cause some damage. So this click lever system is like a fool's proof way to do your tapering.
I mean, you're going from talking about fans to talking about something that you're obviously a fan of.
Yes.
And it's interesting certainly with tools, everyone I speak to have their favourites.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, you know, if we had gone back maybe 15 years, every barber had a wild clipper.
Yeah,
and yeah, hey, still do, and
yeah,
still have.
They're a good company.
But it's interesting how many others are out there now emerging and are loved. Again, just reinstating what you're saying about the fans.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're also, so I'm just wanting to cover, because I like the fact that you're, I mean, from my point of view, you know, I had my company went belly up, it was all gone, done, dusted, I licked my wounds. And it gave me an opportunity to change my mindset so that the way everything about my company now is really different.
Mm.
But, you know, we have traditional stores. We have a set of shops and that's what we do. We just I run them differently. You know, you've gone for a huge gambit of change.
Yeah.
And you're also now working with... is it Gould you're working with?
Yes, indeed. So what?
I'm just wanting to cover all the strings that are going on, because I think it's really interesting that you have your change from what you were
definitely.
Doing is really multi.
It is, and it's evolving into... Work? I mean, I think the only thing I regret is I haven't got time for golf anymore.
Right.
Or football. So, but
as a QPR fan, mate, I think not having time for football is not such a bad thing.
Actually, I am looking forward to the Euros, though. I'm really looking forward to that. But anyway, we could chat football all day. So the Gould thing is incredible, really. So I kind of do a consultancy for Gould. They have unbelievably 45 barbershops now in all the big Tesco stores.
Mm.
When I first heard about Gould many years ago, over 10 years ago now, I thought, what's this all about? A barbershop and Tesco's and you know, that's not really my cup of tea. I don't know if I agree with that. So stupid of me, really. I've looked into it. I've got to know the two brothers, Darren and Lee. They're actually barbers as well. So this is the great thing about this brand. They're not just businessmen who run a massive load of stores, you know, 45 and growing. I think next month or in April, they're going to be in Sheffield as well. So I do a consultancy with them. So I go and help open the new stores for them, which is great. You know, we set the standards in the stores and it's really good to work along the new barbers and get that kind of enthusiasm going, the minimum standards, which are so important. And then I pop back and obviously see how things are going. I also am working with their apprentices as well. So they've got 32 apprentices at the moment. So when they leave the academy at Gould, they will literally go in store. I will go and help them progress a little bit quicker to be more shop ready. And also...
So kind of that kind of... I talked about this a lot in a previous podcast, but much more that kind of graduate that they've arrived from the academy.
I think it's an introductory at the academies to learn a bit of barbering and to get the fundamentals. But, you know, really speaking, I want to pass that four stages on. I want to pass that 37 years of experience. I've learned from some great barbers out there. I've also learned from some not so great ones.
Mm.
But, you know, I can pass that on now to these youngsters or, you know, sort of if they're a little bit older and they've just joined the gang. I can pass that knowledge and show them a simple way to get shop ready a little bit quicker, but something that's going to make their career more enjoyable. And I think it's more enjoyable if you know what you're doing, because there's some people who go on the fast track courses and they give up barbering after 6 months because they don't enjoy it. And one of the reasons they don't enjoy it is because they're not very good at it. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's just that they haven't been taught the simple way to do it. For instance, skin fades. My goodness, skin fades are really a short back in size, but some people are taking 45 minutes to an hour to do a skin fade, rubbing a hot clipper up the side of someone's head. That client retention? I don't think so. You know, so there's so many things that I can help them with, and it's a pleasure to be involved in the biggest brand in the UK at the moment, you know.
So 45 stores, 32 apprentices. How many barbers?
They've got, I think, about 230. Oh, wow. You know,
and you tend to work on new stores, or do you get around to all of them at some point?
Obviously, some stores are performing incredibly well. I mean, some of the stores have got 9 barbers in them.
Wow.
Some of them aren't doing so well. So if it's called upon, I will go to the store that isn't doing so well and work with them to try and sort of give them a little bit of a boost. Give them some encouragement. So, but it is a fantastic setup, as I say, and there'll be many, many more stores to come. So,
And how did that come about? From a contact with them,
yeah,
or just
so
from everything else you've been doing? Is that
I've known kind of Darren and Lee for quite a few years now. I think once you build a relationship with them, you find out more about it. And you know, it was when I left Hertfordshire and Cambridgeshire and started the Phil Jarman Academy, I was really had a bit more time on my hands, because it's not every single day you're out in a salon. So it freed up some space for golf, which I never got around to doing. And I kind of jumped from one thing into another, and it's kind of developed into doing quite a few days a week with them now. So this week or last week, I was in Mansfield and Norwich, all over the place, Sunbury-on-Thames, Newbury, Bristol. It's an amazing thing to be traveling around and meeting new barbers as well. So it's definitely so as the kind of Phil Jarman Academy, I'm working alongside them, and it really, really works well. But also, as I say, I'm doing my stuff in Europe, and I'm doing my private stuff as well when people contact me. So it is super, super busy, and it's fantastic. I'm enjoying it.
And when's Amsterdam?
Amsterdam in April, I think it's the 18th, 19th, the weekend.
Excellent. So yeah, we were talking about wanting to take this. Amsterdam's my hit. I'm really impressed. Well, certainly the Shoreham boys in Rotterdam and stuff.
Yeah, they'll be
there. I'm very interested with what's going on.
Mark van der Heer and Amanda, who run this amazing show. I mean, as I say, I've always wanted to be on stage there, and they would gladly invite you guys out there to see how it goes and for you to do a live out there, because you'll be mixing and rubbing shoulders with some of the industry's finest in Europe. I mean, it's great having the shows in the UK, and there's a lot of good ones, love them. But I think it's when, personally, I've been to India and some really cool places. You see so many other incredible barbers and hairdressers that you'd never normally see. Yeah. And Amsterdam is, for me, it's the Wembley.
How's your passport looking? Are you all right? it'd be nice. I think I'm really fascinated about that. I think it's interesting when the other scenes that are going on elsewhere. Very interesting. So the academy is now, is it a real place, or is it just you? Are you now... Have knowledge, will travel.
So basically,
or is there a physical?
Place? I've got my physical place where I'm doing all my haircuts, which is fantastic. But that's not where people don't come to there. So
right.
That's kind of behind the chair, which is great. So the Phil Jarman Academy travels. You know, I travel all over. I've got my massive big toolkit and an A board that I can do some diagrams if needed. But it's great the fact that I'm flexible and I can travel. I can go into salons, because that's a big thing. It's a lot easier for me to go to salons than it is them to come to me.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I can, a lot of the salons that I go to, I'm not talking about gold here, I'm talking about individual salons, they can close on a Sunday or they're closed on a Monday, and that's the days that I can go and actually take it to them, and they're in their own habitat, they're in their own comfort surroundings.
Yeah, it's really nice to get to be physically present as well. I think,
definitely.
You know there has been obviously lockdown and beyond, there was a huge birth of
online stuff,
education, which definitely has a place. We certainly find that we'll dial into different bits as a top-up.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can beat that in person. And I'm
totally. I mean, I think online education definitely has its place. So, and I think some people are doing a great job of it. But I think when it comes down to the nitty gritty of the person you have in your chair, if you're doing an online show, which I have done, I will have the best model possible. I won't have a model with cow's licks, double crowns, swirls on the back of the neck that, you know, you wouldn't show. So if you can watch an online education course, when you get that client in your chair that's got everything going difficult, you know, to perform a great haircut, you think, well, he didn't show me that online. So it's quite bespoke. Every single person you get in the chair is obviously he spoke. It's a challenge in itself. So I think it's good. And I like that when I'm on stage as well, even in Europe or in the UK or doing a seminar. I like to have random models. I mean, I just got back from Albania, which was incredible. I went to some international global championship I was invited to perform. It's a competition. There was 22 competitors to do an old school classic haircut. And I wasn't allowed to use clippers. It was only scissors and a cutthroat razor. Oh, okay. And unbelievably, I was the only one in the UK there. And I came second. So I was kind of flying the flag for Scotland and the UK. And it was amazing. But the funniest thing is, I actually had a model. I had a model agency who prepared models. And when I seen the model walking in, I thought, I can't, his hair's too short. You know, and he's not a model. So I ran out on the street. Literally started rounding people up. I was asking all these random people, would you be my model? And a lot of them gave me strange looks in Albania. But luckily I managed to get this kid in. He had long hair, convinced him to have a haircut for myself. I had to show my Instagram that I was the real deal. And it was amazing. And
how's Albania? What's the scene going on out there?
So it's an up and coming.
When I keep here, it's a beautiful country.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of place where I think could have had some bad press over the years from, you know, different cities we go to in Europe. There's Albanians doing this, there's Albanians doing that, but actually in Albania itself.
A good pal of mine just did a tour through it and just said it was it's getting a huge tourism.
Yeah, they are, and they're trying to build up the tourism as well, so they're very friendly.
What was the competition? I hadn't heard of this at all.
So yeah, it's an organisation basically that basically travel all over the world. Every 6 months they're in a new location. It's an organisation that's been going for many years. It's something that I've not really got involved in, but recently they've invited me out to take part in this competition. They're not in the UK yet. They're all over Europe. I think the next one up's in Germany, and then the next one after that's in Poland. But there's hundreds and hundreds of people there, competitors from all over the world. It's old school competitions, which normally I don't bother with, but I just thought I'd dip my toe in the water to see if I was still any good. And it was amazing. I mean, I was up against the Italians, I was up against the Turks, I was up against the Germans. It was like a real, you know, having a look around.
And, your own little personal Euros.
Yeah, it was. But to be honest with you, though, it was a little bit like a Eurovision Song Contest. I think the guy who won it actually came from Albania and he wouldn't have been in my top five. But the great thing is, the Italians were just saying to me, oh, you're fantastic. So it was really nice to know that I can still cut it and have a go against the best out there, you know. So,
and it's kind of nice. I mean, like I said, from doing this, I've really kind of found myself involved in that kind of this kind of barbershop community in the UK. And it's nice that that thread goes out throughout the rest of the world and rest of Europe.
Definitely. I think it's really good. But, you know, honestly, as I say, people would ask me just last night, what do you prefer? Do you prefer being on stage or be behind the chair? Yeah. Got to tell you, being behind the chair for me is still a great thing to do. Yeah. And it's something that I'd never stopped doing. In fact, I was working in one of the gold salons. It was in Norwich that we opened a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it's great to have a wide range of people still coming through, which I can cut the hair. And I've got to tell you this, it's the best review that I think, I mentioned this the other day, that I could ever have had. And I had a client in, and it's great to meet kids, you know, with autism and you know, and you've got to skillfully go about your work. And it's something I think as a barber, we naturally want to do anyway. Yep. I mean, I know there's people out there who are specializing in being the autistic barber or, you know, whatever they do. But I think we've got to be doing that anyway, off our own bat. Mm. And, you know, it's something that we want to give everyone time for in the chair and really try and dig deep if it's a challenge. So this guy came in and he had cerebral palsy and bless him, he wasn't in a great way. And, you know, I put my hands on his shoulders and gave him a big smile and said, listen, I'm going to make you look fantastic. And he was trying to talk during the conversation. Even though I couldn't understand what he said, I still had that connection with him. But the review I got from his care was incredible and it touched me. And I would rather this than be on the stage and get this, you know, massage ego, whatever, because this is real life. This is hopefully making a difference for someone. So her review basically read that her friend, who really struggles in public with his confidence because of his cerebral palsy, when he came to the barber made him feel as though his condition didn't exist. And that, for me, touched me. I thought, wow, I mean, you know, digging deep and giving it your best shot with every single person that comes in the shop is really what it's all about. And, you know, we are barbers and we can make a difference to some people who sit in the chair, whether they're depressed, whether they're, you know, in a bad way. I mean, we've got a wide range of people that come in, and I think that's really important to remember who we are.
Yeah, and I think the more and more barbers I meet, the strength of everyone's empathy is quite amazing, and how that's spread out. And, you know, obviously from social media, the kind of lessons that are being given out, that if you are finding these things that you're struggling with, that there is some sort of resource out there to approach it, everything in a different way. But I love that, you know, with what you're doing, that I like the whys are, so many of your whys are about customer service and the little bits that you kind of learn over the years, that when you're, you know, not so experienced, it's a way of dipping in and grabbing.
Yeah,
mate,
definitely.
I'm so pleased you came back.
Thank you so much.
Really lovely.
Mate, fantastic.
And I'm really pleased with everything you're doing. It was very nice to have a bit of a chat about life after.
Yes.
And beyond.
There is life after.
there is. And maybe there'll be a third one we do at some point.
Fantastic.
Phil,
thanks for having me. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you for watching this episode of The Noble Barber. If you liked it, please do like and subscribe. If you've got comments of what we should be doing in future, please give us your questions and we'll try and find an expert to talk to. Or if you're the expert and you want to come on here and help, stay in touch, we'll get you on. Come and join us on the sofa.